with understanding the Tanakh, that since the beginning of the Tanakh, division into chapter and verse, so we have a Masoretic tradition, and we have a tradition from the Christians. And the Christian chapter and verse division has been introduced into all the printed forums in the time of the beginning of printing. But the printed presses at the time was the first one were non-Jews.
This is before the Sancio Press or at the same time?
I've had the chapter division was invented by the Archbishop of Canterbury in the 10th century, 11th century.
Before Sancio, way before Sancio. Huh? Before Sancio, before the press.
Yes, long before. Yeah. Okay. So, the one who made a slight change is Koran. What did he do? He adopted also the chapter and verse division, which is accepted universally, but on, you see on one side of the column, he has a different division. We've got a Koran Tanakh. That's one reason I'm using it also. You see, he gives here, this is all the regular one. Yeah? On this side. But on this side, he gives here, for example, here says Gimel. That means this is chapter Gimel. Mm. Here which starts with verse 12. If you look here, Atem Yodim Tistaklu B'Tanach Tiru Perek Rishon Tzir Tanach Perek Rishon Mistayem Yom HaShishi Etzlam Et Perek Rishon Po. You see it here, this side.
Right.
This side. Eich Efshari Im Tistaklu B'Shum Chumash. If you look in any Chumash, Bereshit, where does the first chapter of the Chumash end? Ma'asiyum. Yeah? Yom HaShishi is the end, the first chapter. Vayechulu starts the second chapter. Yeah? Kishanachnu matchilim kiddush b'leil Shabbat. Eich matchilim? How do you begin Kiddush on Friday night? Yeah, but before that, we start with Vayerevoke Yom HaShishi. To combine the sixth day with the Shabbos. But it's a new chapter. When you have a new chapter, you interrupt. Okay? It's a new chapter. But that new chapter is invented by the non-Jews. They made a division between the weekday and the Shabbat. Him asu habdalah bin Shabbat, aber anachnu musifim mechol al hakodesh. Ma pirush? Why do we add from the weekday to Shabbos? Because God allowed the spirit of Shabbos to enter into the weekday. Mm-hmm. And therefore you'll find here in Koran, on the right-hand side, puts here, this is the Masoretics, beginning of second chapter. Yeah, which is much more sensible as well from every angle. And we Jews have adopted the non-Jewish division for many centuries. And now they came out of Tanakh, this Tanakh, Tirum. Tanakh, if you say the Hayudi, fantastic. This is very good. I've often thought surely that should be done. And they've done it. So for 2 shekel, you can have one of these, and I'm going to refer to them as well. We're going to do our investigation. I followed with pages. And you would say, Shilo Kolechad Yatanach Hazel. Im Rotzim Bishvil Atmechem, Tasi Mushne Shekalim Bakupav, Vitzetu Hashem Shilachem, Betoch Atanach. This is Atanach Mo'od, Mo'od Mekuri, Mo'od Toch. Achshav, now I want to go here this year. Achshav. I want to go more deeply into Tzkiyat Shofar. Now you know the shofar is tekiya teruah tekiya. Yeah. Tekiya is echa tekiya. Do echa teruah. Do. Teruah katuv b'chumash mentioned teruah. The chumash doesn't mention shuvarim. The reason is, in the Gemara, there's a safek. Is the sound of Teruah, or is the sound of Teruah, is it a sobbing or a sighing? So the question is it sobbing or sighing? Yeah? So now, you see here on Kuf Tamachet, what is that's the bring here from the Zohar. Gimel b'chinot b'shofar. There are three aspects to the shofar. Tekiya kama, the first sound, chesed, loving kindness. That's the quality of Avraham Avinu. The second sign, shevarim teruah. Shevarim teruah is da. That sighing, person sighs, and sobbing, sobbing, yeah. Pachat expresses fear. Now you find this also in the universal way in which, let's say, unfortunately, people living in the south and in the north hear it now as well, yeah. They hear an ezaka. How does ezaka go?
Down,
up and down. Shevarim. It's frightening. Yeah? It's certainly frightening when they send these missiles. Because you don't know if they, you know, it means there's missiles in the area. You have to know it. If you're signing that, you've got to go to the miklat. Go run. Make sure you're in a safe place. And then, when it's all over, what's the sound?
All over, it's actually just usually wait, but sometimes it goes like a
all clear. How does all clear go?
All clear, usually it goes in like dashes, no?
What?
Dashes.
No.
No?
All clear is all over the world. What is all clear? Atami vin? Because Shiakol said, as Eze Kol, you motzi in.
It might be a long line.
Yeah. Because it goes up a bit and it goes down. But that's the all clear, all over the world. There's also another sign which we make when we want to arouse the people for a moment of silence, you know, a moment of tefillah. That's also a long, straight one.
Yeah.
That everybody should, it's not an alarm. It's a dedication of the unity of the people, and we can't reach them all by a voice, so you make a sign. You should all think of something. Yeah? Yom HaZikaron or whatever. So we find there's a quality. Avraham Avinu is a happy, loving kindness, outreach, chesed, also the love of Hashem. Shvarim Teruah is alarm. And that was Yitzchak. And then what's the final Sikhiya at the end? Emet. That's the mid of Yaakov Avinu. Now, you know, Emet is made up of three letters of the alphabet. Which ones? Maim Otiyot Shel Alephbet.
Aleph Mem Tet.
As Mazeh, Aleph Zeha Ot.
Rishon.
Tav ze ha'ot Avron, umem ze emtza. So emet is understanding the whole of life. You've got two extremes and you've got a middle path. And that's the concept of unification. Tzitzit emet li'Yaakov, chesed li'Avraham. The emet of Yaakov combines the chesed with Yitzchak. It's taking the lesson of Torah together with the lesson of love. Combine the two, and that is, emet is also equivalent. We say Yaakov Ishtam Yosef Ohalim. Yaakov represents the power of Torah. Now, do you know why is ethics of the fathers called Pirkei Avot? Why Avot? Have you heard any explanation? Why is it called Pirkei Avot? Ethics. The Mishnah is dealing with ethics of Musa is Pirkei Avot. Why is it Avot?
Maybe the three fathers had ethics.
Huh?
Maybe they have the ethics he wants anyway.
So one of the explanations is because the ethics of the fathers were taught by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When the sages say Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah, it means the ethics of the Torah precede the actual practical mitzvah. And when they are taught to us through the episodes of Sefer Bereishis, we know that, you know, charity begins at home. In fact, all good virtues in life begin in the home. And we look backwards, and we look forwards. We look backwards to the home and the family problems of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov to be able to solve problems in our family and also problems in the nation and problems of mankind. So the Sefer Bereishis doesn't contain so many practical mitzvot. Which ones does it contain in Sefer Bereishit? Which mitzvot is that?
Kesha Chodesh? Is that Bereishit?
No, not in Bereishit.
Be fruitful and multiply.
What?
Be fruitful and multiply.
Pru Arvu, yes. Which other mitzvah? Tam Yisrael?
Mila.
Kidan Asher, but otherwise there hardly any mitzvot. In fact, the sages ask, how is it that there are many principles of Torah which you only know from a certain word? And the Torah speaks about how Eliezer went about getting a shidduch for Yitzchok. It spends, about 50 pesukim on that subject. Why is it?
That's what a man should look for in Shidduchim. In other words, if he studies that chapter specifically, he'll know what to look for in for his mate, his life mate. It's not beauty. It's certain inherent characteristics, a good heart, a good eye, and
so forth. It's what the sage expresses. The truth is, if you enter into those 50 psukim deeply, you learn very many lessons of character development. I'll just say, I don't know if you ever read Goethe. Yeah?
No? Exactly.
Well, I was in a non-Jewish school, but I taught German, and I read Goethe. Yeah, and Goethe was so impressed by Sefer Bereishis, yeah? It made a big impression upon him. The greatest German literary personality. Yeah, so, no, even the non-Jews have enormous impact on the world. And the whole of the Formishat. But specifically, sages call it Derech Eretz. You've got to learn behavior and the development in practical life. That you learn from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, so I'm going to put the question in a different way. In all our daily prayers, we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. Who's Elokei Avoteinu? Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. You ask the question, but why do you have to specify each one? Is the Elokei Avoteinu zekva kol Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov? Why do we specially say the Avraham, the Yitzchak, Yaakov? Why?
parts make up the whole.
And we have to learn from all of them the different qualities and how to combine them in life. So, in fact, to carry on the whole same idea, we call it Pirkei Avot. So it says that Shimon HaTzadik Amar Al Shlosha Devarim HaOlam Omed Al Torah Avodah Ugmil Chasadim. So these three were developed, if you go into it more deeply, by Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That's why it's called Pirkei Avot. I'll tell you an interesting episode. My son was a chaplain many years in the U.S. Army. And his son is getting married in a few weeks' time. He had his bar mitzvah in the army base. It's Fort Bragg, I think it was called. So we were there, also bar mitzvah. And all the chaplains were invited. Muslim chaplains, Christian chaplains, all came. They all came and invited them as well. So they wanted to have a discussion with me, some of them. And the head chaplain, head chaplain of the whole fort, which had contained, I think, thousands of soldiers of different religions, he said the following to me. If we had one of the joint discussion. He's now about to retire. And he spent 40 years in the army, you know, chaplain. I was retiring. And he said he doesn't quite know what should he do now. He said to me, I should answer the question. They learned from my son, who taught them this statement of Shimon HaTzadik, that the world is based on Torah, Avodah, Ugmil Chasadim. It's clear that Shimon HaTzadik said it in the time of Hellenism. You know, he was the one who met with Alexander the Great, who showed him enormous respect. But you know, the Greek thinkers, they were all concerned, what are the major elements of the world? So he taught the major elements of Torah, Modam, Mila, Chasadim. So this chaplain, he said, we heard what your son has taught us, that these are principles for every person. Torah means your moral life, has to be governed by God's teachings. Avodah means you've got to introduce worship of God in your life, whatever religion you belong to, very important for the soldiers to feel that. And Gvilach Zadim, we've got to do good things to other people. But he said, now he's retiring, doesn't quite know how he can do it. He tried to do it. So he said, he quoted my son, I was so impressed by this, quoted my son, who had taught them this. So I explained to him, you can go and do it. The Noahide Code embraces all mankind, and you should continue. In both, one is your duties to yourself, self-perfection in your behavior and character. The other one is to become more perfect in relation with God, the creator of the world. And the other one is to concern yourself with the needs of your fellow man. So you can do it even if you're a retired chaplain. There's so many social needs in the world. You can do it with people who had breakdowns in the army, and so you can in retirement help them, you know, carry on a bit with what you've learned throughout your life. Or you can deal also with other people who've been through stressful situations, because that's what you learn as a chaplain. You've got to be a counselor at the same time. So I want to apply this now to Tekiah through a Tekiah, according to the Zohar. It represents these three areas in which all of us have to improve our lives. So now can you answer me, why do we say Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu? And then Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. You should say those with Kavanah. You know, the first blessing you have to say with Kavanah. So what do you have in mind when you say Elokei Abraham? What do you have in mind?
Chesed.
To do chesed, to do kind. Have I done enough kindness to other people? Or have I, you know, and I could help someone else. They help them, or they say, I've got no time, I can't do anything. You know, not for me, ask other people. Like I've asked, for example, I'm very surprised to hear that when the student here has asked a few people if they can help with a certain job, he says, people say, no, they can't help. You know, we should have a spirit in yeshiva. Everyone wants to help. If a person's got too many jobs, okay. Say, I can't do it. We've got to have models. Oh, let's say there's one student. I mean, you ask him to do anything before you, even when you just make a sign that you want something, he runs to do it. It's a fantastic example we've got. What a great somebody to do. So we should learn. Not everybody's able to do it, but if you're able to help somebody, you should help them. The din is even, what's the din? If you're learning Torah, yeah? And somebody comes in and says, help me. I need help. What should you do?
You have to help them. Even though it's your enemy and his donkey is falling down, even though it's your enemy, you still have to help them.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. So it's like this. Of course, if, let's say there's a whole group learning and you're learning, and there's someone who's not learning, just doing some trivial, having a trivial kind of conversation, you can say, look, I'm learning, perhaps he should do it, you know. So if there's somebody else to do it, who's not in the middle of learning, you can say, but, let's say you're by yourself, yeah, there's nobody else, you've got to help. And in yeshiva, there's got to be a spirit of helpfulness for everyone. That's Elokei Avraham. And what's Yitzchak? Yitzchak's greatness was, I mean, the pachad is the way in which he was willing to give up his whole life to Hashem. So he is the amud of the highest level of connection with Hashem. Give up my life, Hashem, if necessary. Because Hashem doesn't want it. Hashem, what happens in the place where he was willing to give up his life, it became the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, the Beit HaMikdash teaches us the holiness will only come upon mankind if they have a recognition of God. And there's an intensive place where you can feel the presence of God. That's even until today, near the Kotel, you see what a power it is. It's a universal power. Many different groups, not only Jews, Gentiles, come there more and more all the time. But that's also the fact that the Christians and Muslims want that place so much, you know. It's their place. Okay, it's written already in the prophets. It is intended for the Gentiles. Shlomo HaMelech said so. Said, it's Beiti, Beit Tefila, Kelechol Amim. That's Yitzchak. It's the greatness of Yitzchak. So we've got to think, is our prayer, do we connect up with Hashem? Do we feel His presence? Do we say to Him, you know, Hashem, be closer to me, be closer to Am Yisrael. Should a person go with his own private needs to Hashem? We shouldn't just think, you know, if you rattle off a few prayers and you don't have any kavona, so we know that tefillah b'li kavana hi keguf b'li neshama. A prayer that is without heart and head is like a body that is dead. So you've got to be heart and head into it. See? So it's very important for a person that will come to Rosh Hashanah have something with translation. So I'm going to put up downstairs, we're going to put up all possible brochures and books we've got, also in English, whatever is available, that it should have some meaning for you. You know, also about Machzorim, you know, the yeshiva which you can follow. So that's all important. That's Yitzchak. What about Yaakov? Yaakov is the improvement of the self, of his character, which is the ultimate emet of life. I mean, Hashem is what put us in this world to become those who will bring himself to the highest level with the Tzelem Elokim, with their own character and saintliness. And that stays for eternity. That's the power of Emet. So this is hinted at by Tekiya Shvayantrov. Now, the Amida, to go back, how do we end the first blessing of the Amida? How do we end it? What's the ending?
Okay.
Why shouldn't it be Magen Avot? Hashem didn't protect Yitzhak and Yaakov. He protected them as well. Why did he protect Abraham? So it's really sages say, they're not from Pesukim, Bechachot Mim. The Chatima is Abraham. In other words, the way to open up your heart in life to improvement of character and to become more perfect in Torah, in knowing the Torah and applying it in daily life, comes through the spirit of Chesed, of loving kindness. Some people even say it, the Jewish people as a whole, we know, also today, there are many Jews that have no connection at all with the learning Torah. They don't even know what it is. They're no less than the Gentiles. Know about the Torah. And they haven't read the Bible. And they've been to synagogue. So you know, there are some Jews who even have been to synagogue. They do know the Bible a bit, but don't want to see it, but they don't know what Jewish worship is, or they don't want to know because of the environment in which they were educated. No interested. Like even today there's still some kibbutzim left where they exclude all prayers. There were some individuals and families, unfortunately, who've left prayer entirely. They don't have faith. But what has remained, it's a Jewish characteristic that we see all around, is Chesed, Chachot Min. So Chesed still exists amongst Jews. And it's important to open that Chesed. It means also our approach to bring people to Torah, it's got to go with the quality of loving kindness. Can someone of you go on reading now? Geide HaTerua. And who wants to read it? Can read Hebrew and translate. Geide HaTerua. Middle of the page.
Middle of the page? Geide HaTerua.
Geide Arishona? Geide means definition.
Yeah.
More detailed understanding.
Geder HaTerua, the definition of the Terua.
Shvarim Terua. Because in practice, we don't know whether it's a sobbing or a sighing. So, but what is it? Shehu Bechinat Pacha. But it's an expression of awe and fear. Midat Yitzchak, the quality of Yitzchak. This is what the sages define, Moresh Hashanah, or Genuchi, which means a sighing, or Yulule, which means a sobbing. Yeah? Lule is, that's Yulule. And Genuchi means, the Shvorim Teruah, which are Shnei Ofanem, Shirbuchia, two ways of crying. Vezeu Geide Eimet Hadin. This is an expression of the awe in front of the heavenly judgment. Haba Yidya Shofar, which comes to the Shofar, as it says in the Prophet, Im Yataka Shofar Ba'ir, Ba'am Lo Echeradu, if a Shofar is sounded in the city, the people aren't going to tremble. So, I want to say something which is hinted at the words of the sages, but like many hints, it's only we today know its actuality. Why is Why? One of the reasons for the name Sinai. What does Sinai sound like?
People know it, usually they know it means hatred.
Sinai is connected with the word Sina, Mazi Sina, hatred. Why Sinai, the place where Hashem revealed himself to 3 million people, at the Moshe Rabbeinu on the highest level, why is it called a mountain of hatred?
Jealousy. Well, the jealousy which came out
there. So it should be Kina.
Yeah, that's right.
Jealousy is Kina. So why is it called Sina?
Well, that's what it leads to.
Jealousy leads to hatred. Why do, if you go to it more deeply, why do many of the Palestinians hate us? Why?
Because they're on the...
Psychologically speaking, why do Palestinians hate...
They're on the wrong side of the green line. They see our green, and they're on the other side.
Even though they know that the Arab Israelis, they have a much better life than those in Gaza. But nevertheless, many Arab Israelis who live in Arab territory, in Jerusalem, or they live in the West Bank, or even they live in Yafo, they'll go on, and they'll go on benefiting, but underneath, they feel jealous. But they still feel their families and so on. We go back to the Muslim traditions. And why is it that these Jews, they employ us and they pay us much better than we can get from Hamas or from the Rashut of the Palestinians in Gaza? So even if they live here, they're jealous. And when we look, let's speak. What's the psychology of the murderers here in Hanov? You know the murderers in Hanov. You know the person that happens with us in the morning. Yeah, you know who that is. Why do we have in the morning? We have often he comes here. Aaron Mordechai. And his sister also comes. Well, their father was murdered in cold blood with guns and hatchets. You didn't know this? You don't know what happened here? In Hanov? So there are a few terrorists. And those terrorists, some of them, they worked for the Jews here in the area. And they knew every place. They knew the ins and outs of the roads and of the buildings and of the synagogues. And one morning it was how long ago was it?
About 9 or 8 months ago. November 18th.
Not yet a year.
November 18th,
we daven shofar is here. In the middle there was a siren up and down. Ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah. And some went outside, and there's the terrorists around. Yeah? And everyone should go into the miklat. But they said, no, they ran past us. They're no longer here, but the police were pursuing them. And they found the shul down the road, just a few minutes from here. And the shul was full. Our shul wasn't so full. They decided they're not attacking here, they attacked that shul. And they came with hatchets and with other weapons and with guns. And they tried to kill as many as possible. They wounded quite a few of them. Including this, one of them, who was a regular davener with us, is still in a coma today. You can include him in your tefillahs. It's called Chaim Yechiel Ben Malka. Chaim Rothbard. So he, and the one who davens here, my davens with his father, Goldberg, Avraham Shmuel Goldberg, comes into daven. He's davening for the soul of his father. And who murdered them? People who were friends of the Jews, Muslims, who were working here in the supermarket and other places. and he relied upon them, and then they come up like that. Because how do you explain this situation? And for years they've been friendly, because it's jealousy. And there comes a point where they say, I'm so jealous, I'm going to join these. They find out how to do it. They get in touch with the underground terrorists all over Israel. And you never know. That's why it's safer, I'm telling you, it's a safer thing these days not to take a taxi driven by a Muslim. If you can recognize it, yeah, or take a taxi. Because you never know. So unfortunately, a very unfortunate circumstance. But that's an example, and the whole of the Muslim anti-Semitism has got a lot to do with the jealousy of Israel. They're jealous of us also in our religious aspect. Hamas themselves, you know, they say in some of the religious leaders of Hamas in the mosques, they say we've got to kill the Jews and become suicide bombers. In the previous war, some of them said all over the world, when they saw that their attacks on the south of Israel kept on missing the target, they said, maybe the Jews are too good. God likes them more than he likes us. So we better pray better to our Muslim God. Because that's what some of them are saying. Even today some. So kina leads to sinna. So my question, that's why it's called Sinai. Because also, who's most jealous of the people of Israel? More than anybody else. The nearer they are to the family of Avraham Avinu, the more jealous they are. Because they miss their chance. And they feel underneath that the Jews are more beloved by Hashem. So therefore, the Sinai leads to Sinai. The fact that we've got the Torah, people of Israel, we've got this responsibility. So if we are on a very high level of Mamlechet Kohanim v'Kadosh, which we were supposed to do when Hashem gave us the Torah, then Hashem will see to it that their sinner will disappear. Either their hatred will disappear, and their jealousy, on the contrary, they'll approve of us. As the truth is, there are Christians, and there are many Christians, and there are many Muslims who admire the Jewish people. Learned from this report yesterday. They even think the Jewish people can teach mankind the solution to the world problems of today. Many think that. There's some of the greater minds amongst them, but the rank and file, not so simple. Even the Pope's not so simple matter. They've got their dogmas and so on. So, this is, it's called Sina. Now, what does it say? Now, this is a bit mad. What does it say accompanied the giving of the Torah at Sinai? What does it say?
I don't understand the question.
I don't think you should hear this word. I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere. It mentions the kol ha-shofar. The shofar sound, which came from Hashem, wasn't the sound came, and no one's blowing the shofar. It was a shofar min ha-shamayim. A sound of shofar came from heaven and caused the people to tremble. It was accompanied by thunder and lightning. And what else accompanied it? You know? If you read the parsha, we all read the parsha of the giving of the Torah. With thunder and lightning and earthquake.
Shofar.
And the shofar, what else?
Fire.
Trumpet.
Something else.
Mountain smoke.
Light smoke.
But how is the smoke described? The smoke of the mountain, how is it described? Vatal ishanot ke'eshena kivsham. For you like the smoke that comes from the furnace. Mm. What does it mean? Smoke comes from the furnace. So it's like this. Where in human history was the hatred of the nations shown until now more than any other time?
Shoah.
The Holocaust. What was the Holocaust? What was the symbol of the Holocaust?
The gas chambers.
The smoking crematoriums. And smoking crematoriums are mentioned in the Kibbutz of the Torah. The smoke crematoriums. Now, question is what? How can Hashem allow there to be smoking crematoriums that kill a third of our nation and kill millions of other innocent human beings? Why does Hashem allow it? And he said, this frightened the people. And come to the Kol HaShofar. It's because the covenant with Hashem is like this. If we keep the covenant, we get every blessing. But if you don't keep the covenant, it might come to a situation, if you don't listen to the shofar, the shofar to understand the purpose of all this, bring you to Shuvah, to keep you on the level of Adam and Rishon before the sin. But that was the level of the people then. And it brought them to it. And the people were, in fact, they were terrified. For they saw the alternative. Either, look, it's mentioned already in Bereshit, goes right back to Bereshit. Because, here I want you to, I want to use this Tanakh now, where correct chapter divisions. So I'm giving you the page. Let's work on it. I've got to get used to this. It describes, with the end of Bereshit. In this one, you'll find it on page 4. Page 4. Look at page 4 in this new Tanakh, which you want to get used to. Another reason as well, because the Jerusalem Bible's translation is not really good enough for this, for our audience. Both those who are sitting around the table and those who are listening.
What do you mean?
So it says here, and this, listen, this is very interesting. Where's the beginning of the third chapter? Page 4 in the new Tanakh. I want everybody to have such a Tanakh, and I want it to be yours. You put in 2 shkalim in and put your name in. These were put at our doorstep, and we phoned them up, and they said, you give it to the yeshiva. I don't want it to be taken lightly, because it's very interesting, because I want to analyze this now. Get a new understanding of the Bible, which people don't have. One of the reasons, because unfortunately, all printed Tanakhim, even with all the Mephoshim, the chapter division is from a Christian source, from the Archbishop of Canterbury in the 9th or 10th century. He introduced it, and that was accepted in all printed Tanakhs. The Koran Bible made a step forward and put the Masoretic chapter division, put it on the right-hand side of the Koran. But still, the main thing still follows the Gentile approach. So here you've got Seder Gimel, which means the third chapter. And what, and very, it begins with it. It said, when after Adam and Eve sinned, it said, Hashem, God said, Hein Adam Ayak Achad Mimenu, Natav Tovara. The human being, we need to consider, he even thinks he's like God. He can choose between, he knows the difference between good and evil. Yeah? But unfortunately, he doesn't only know it in the sense that there's a potential evil. He has swallowed up this good and evil inside himself. What's he gonna stretch out his hand? He'll take from the tree of life and he'll eat it and live forever. Right, this verse is so deep, I'm not discussing it now. But the next one. Hashem sent away, and it says Hashem Elohim, the two qualities of mercy and of justice. He sent him out of Gan Eden to go and do work for the land from which he was taken. Then by Goresh et Adam, this verse 3 is the important one, he drove out man. In other words, he didn't really send him away from the physical paradise, but he drove away man from his previous situation. And he placed Mikedem Gan Eden HaKruvim, he placed on the in the east of Gan Eden, the cherubs. Veitlat acheret amitapechet, and also the flame of the constantly turning sword of destruction, lishmor eder etzachayim, in order to preserve the path of the tree of life. Now, this verse is very cryptic. So I'll give you now a deep explanation. Human history, as far as it's been recorded, is a record of constant miseries, battles, strivings, destructions. There have been certain groups, certain intervals, when there has been a striving also for Kruvim. The cherubs, say Hashem is Yosheva Kruvim, they represent the power of virtue which exists in human beings to choose Hashem. So we have the utopian vision when mankind will again turn itself towards Hashem, and when the cherubs will turn towards one another in peace. In other words, when human beings will become true servants of Hashem, that's one alternative, which lies in the vision of human beings. But in practice, it's more been the constantly turning sword, flaming sword of destruction. And that's what we see. We see today. Today, also the same thing. There are some people looking forward. Maybe we're going to get back to Gan Eden. The paradise is lost, but we can regain it if we work in the right direction. It's only possible through the Kruvim. Only possible through the Kruvim existed where?
The inner sanctuary.
Where did they exist here later on? Where do you find
the
Kruvim?
In the other Kodesh.
You find them in the sanctuary and afterwards in the temple, Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah.
And the Kruvim represent the way in which there is the potential of, this is like it's really like a girl and a boy. There's the potential of human beings to become saints. You are those who bear the Shekhinah, who carry the Shekhinah. And certainly there have been such saints throughout human history, especially amongst the people of Israel. On the other hand, the Laat Acher V'Tapechet has been more severe. And that includes all the curses that were mentioned in the previous passage, coming upon Adam and Chava and their descendants, for which they're suffering until today. Now the sages say, when Am Yisrael, they agreed to accept the Torah on the mountain of Sinai, so they reached the level of Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, which is a high level of living, and which is equivalent to the level prophesied by the greatest prophet of the Tchiyat HaMitim of the future, the revival of the dead of the future, which is mentioned in many of the prophets, especially Yechezkel, Daniel, is a reference to the return of the human race to the level of Gan Eden. And Am Yisrael reached that level. How did they reach the level? Through Ma. They reached it, but they reached it also through fear. That's why Kofar Em HaGigigis, we go to more deeply. They reached it because they'd seen all the great miracles in Egypt, and then the great miracle of the Red Sea. But they had to work on themselves in the 49 days. They were tested. Anyway, when they came to Sinai, they decided to unite. We're going to listen to Hashem. So Hashem, in the Mamad Har Sinai, he's the Kol HaShofar, is the voice to go back, to return to the initial pure state of our humanity. And it's both for individual, for the nation, and really for the world. That's what they call. And Am Yisrael has been Mamlechet Kohanim. We have to fulfill it. And the truth is that this is inherent in every part of the Bible, and also in the history of the Jewish people. In every generation, they say the great, great saints, they already have Olam Haba inside themselves. They are on the level of Adam HaRishon before the sin. As individuals, they can't reach that level. But as a potential inside themselves. They can't live it out entirely. They're not given the external signs of revival of the dead and so on, because That's left from certain stages have to reach by the total community, by the, at least the majority community of Israel. And then it will go further to have an influence on mankind. But the combination in the Mount Sinai of Sina was in order to encourage the people to listen to the Kol HaShofar. Which Kol HaShofar? Not just the Kol HaShofar, the Tzkiah, but the frightening Kol HaShofar. Couldn't say, V'hi Kol HaShofar Chazak, Mo'od, then say, V'yecherat Kol HaAm. So that's the Kol HaShofar, which is frightening. And the, when we recognize the combination, that with the Eshan HaKivshan, with the smoking crematoriums of the Nazis, and that image goes in front of us, we should recognize Hashem demands us. Well, everyone now is saying, what with Iran? They're denying the Holocaust. Yeah, that's one of the things, deny the Holocaust. Why? Because they feel that Hitler didn't do enough. Even though our priest partner, so called, Abu Mazan, he took a doctorate to deny the Holocaust. So it's unfortunately a terrible situation. So therefore, this is the concept of Pachad Yitzchak, that the Pachad should not be there to be left by itself. If a person will just blow the Tzekiah, Avraham Avinu, and then he blows the Shvorim Teruah, no good. You've got to finish with the Tzekiah, with the all clear. Otherwise, the tragedies that have come upon Am Yisrael and are threatening Am Yisrael today, we shouldn't brood upon them. We should use them as a means to say to Hashem, please Hashem, we want to go back to you. We want the true happiness that comes to Tzitin Emes Liyakov. It starts with Chesed L'Avraham. And we want the Chet Avraham to be the result also of all the tragedies and suffering which were brought to us so that we should turn back to Hashem. It's called Yisurim Shalavat Tzadik. Somebody asked me yesterday, why is it the saints suffer so much? We suffer terribly, some of the saints. In all generations. Why do saints suffer? Hashem is good to those who finish mitzvot. But the answer is, Yisurim Shalava. Hashem, if you ask the saints themselves, they don't regard it as suffering. They regard it as a challenge. I'll give you an example of somebody. That's a great source to know him. You're quite close to him. The poison book of Rebbe, what he went through in his life, as a young man, he was Rava, a Rebbe and a Rava, at a young age, had 11 children. He saw them all killed in front of his eyes, and his wife also, his community all lost. And then he was at the door of death dozens of times throughout the Holocaust. And I think all of you know the story. I was present when he related in full at the founding of Lanyarda Hospital. See, he worked hard to produce a hospital where the staff, his doctors, nurses, after signing on, they're not going on strike. If there are any sick people to attend to, they'll do it. And the founder of the hospital, he explained once the Nazis had killed all the Jews, they found around in a certain place, and some of the Jews went in the ditches, so they had their dogs smelling out all the ditches to see if there's any Jew left there they could kill. And he heard the boots of the Nazi right on top of his ditch, and the dogs all were smelling around. And he said, what's happening? What's going to happen now? I can hear them. So a group of Nazis right on top of me. So he said, that's when he said to Hashem, if you will let me get out of here, get out of all this, I will come free. I'll do everything to create a place of health for all human beings. To help tell people instead of killing them. And I'll tell you another story about him, an unbelievable story. There were some people from Eastern Europe, from Russia, who came in front of the Bezdin and said they're Jews. said, how do you know it's Judaism? They knew nothing about Judaism. And all they knew was, also, their mother also wanted, she wouldn't, their mother said she was Jewish. So what did the mother, what did they know from the mother? Never kept Shabbos, never kept Jewish people, knew nothing about anything. But their mother told them when she was in the camp working hard, that's a sore treason. There was a young man working with her who always had a smile on his face. And once he had a smile on his face, he used to chant a posuk, the posuk from tomorrow's Pasha, from next Shabbos Pasha, that why does all the suffering come upon you? It said, you eat some sugar, but at the end of the klolo, in next week's Pasha, described the Holocaust literally. You eat some sugar, all the things that happened in the Holocaust are mentioned there. He also said, why did it happen? Because you did not serve Hashem out of simcha. You've got to serve Hashem with joy. And that's where the suffering is coming from you. So that pasuk, he kept on singing it whilst he was working, and he put a smile on his face whilst he was working. The back-breaking work which knocked the spirit out of people, made them zombies, in his instance, used all the time to sing. And he was known in the camp, he only concerned to help other people, and always a smile and a joke and trying to help everybody to stop them becoming zombies. When he came out of the camp, he would not refer. It's referred lessons from the Holocaust. But he came with such a strong spirit to rebuild Torah, to rebuild families, to get people to get married and have children. All the time he was working in every direction to help the Jewish people. So he, if you ask him, how can you explain the suffering, he'd say, what do you mean? All the suffering, it gave me the ability to go and help people. And I was able thereby to grow. I grew through it. And these type of Jews, if you read Viktor Frankl, he was an agnostic. Agnostic, a pseudo-Freudian psychologist when he went to the Holocaust. And his whole philosophy, first of all, the search for meaning, and then after unconscious God, came because the experience he had, he went around, why don't these people become zombies like everybody else? He saw because they have the love of man and the love of God is in their hearts. If you have the love of man, love of God in your heart, and you work in that direction, you can survive even the Holocaust. And that's what we have to learn to do. And that's the Kohel HaShofar. The Kohel HaShofar gets us back to our neshama. That's why Pachad is part of it. Why does Hashem send Pachad? He wouldn't need to send it if we would do Teshuvah Me'avo, like we've discussed already. If the power of Chesed is there entirely, you don't need these lessons. But if not, Kasher Yase Ishes Beno, Hashem Lekum Yatzveka. Any questions? Please, next year, tomorrow. But Chumash Rashi, you can now learn with my son, Rabbi Yaakov, till Zitzman gets back his full health.
Amen.
So you can help yourself. There's more Tanakh downstairs. Put your name in and put 2 shekels in the box. The fact is, there's a lot of things you learn from the division of children.
Good evening.